Hi, this is Margot. This is Saturday, September 23rd, 2017, and today I'm going to bring you three articles having to do with the aftermath after the hurricanes of Harvey and Irma. These are articles I found talking about the pollution and things that are happening as a result of all the water and the flooding and stuff. So the first one is called from the Independent, and I'll put links underneath to these articles so you can read them yourself. It's called Hurricane Harvey Flooding Causes Earth's Crust Under Texas to Sink. Devastating storm left 33 trillion gallons of water saturating U.S. soil. Look at that picture. The volume of water dispensed on U.S. soil by Hurricane Harvey was so vast it caused the Earth's crust to give way and sink under the weight. Around 33 trillion gallons of water was left behind by the hurricane, four times the amount left by Hurricane Katrina in 2005. The flooding added around 275 trillion pounds of weight to the landmass of the southern U.S. region, according to calculations by The Atlantic. Chris Milliner, a geoscientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, says this caused the Earth's crust to warp and sink by 2 centimeters. He tweeted a map of Houston, Texas, the worst affected area hit by flooding, which shows the phenomenon. GPS data collected from stations around the city detected the area had been depressed under the weight of the extreme floods caused by Harvey. And there's the chart. The GPS data shows that the Harvey flood was so large it flexed Earth's crust, pushing Houston down by 2 centimeters. Milliner replied to questions on Twitter to explain how it occurs. The phenomenon, he said, is the result of sitting water caused by flooding rather than rain. Although it is possible some of the subsidence around Houston is the result of soil compacting, some of the measurements were taken from stations situated on bedrock, which shows the Earth's crust did give way. In addition, it is possible the Earth's crust around Houston will gradually spring back to its original position over time, but this is not certain. And then it says Hurricane Harvey made landfall in the southern U.S. at the end of August, killing more than 80 people and causing severe flooding, which displaced tens of thousands. It's expected to be the costliest natural disaster in U.S. history, surpassing the record set by Katrina in 2005. Harvey is likely to wind up costing the economy around $190 billion, according to forecasting firm AccuWeather. So there's that article. And there have been quite a few YouTube videos that have just come out in the last couple of days about linking hurricanes to earthquakes. And so this could definitely cause earthquakes because you're shifting the weight and causing a lot of weight on these tectonic plates. So it could cause a plate to move and could cause earthquakes. The next story I'm going to bring to you is from Quartz, and it's called Hurricane Irma Will Likely Cover South Florida with a Film of Poop. South Floridians are bracing for Hurricane Irma's potentially catastrophic damage. Weather advisories are warning of massive flooding, which will likely render roads impassable and homes uninhabitable. This was before Irma went all the way through. Anyway, it says they also face a less visible yet frightening potential consequence: contamination from uncontained poop. Just as it downs electricity poles and submerges streets above ground, the avalanche of water unleashed by hurricane disrupts the order of things down below, where waste goes after you flush. South Florida's sewer infrastructure is particularly vulnerable. Like many urban areas across the U.S., its wastewater lines are rickety. On top of that, many locals store their sewage in underground septic tanks, whose contents are prone to escape during storms. The prospect of poop-laden water pooling around in the streets of Miami is scary enough, yet it's just a symptom of a much bigger problem that plagues hurricane-prone Florida. Rising sea levels are upending its ability to deal with flood water, and both sea levels and flood-inducing storms will get worse with climate change. That's the real horror story. And then it goes on and on. Talks about the swelling oceans and that in Miami Beach, and that flooding has become a daily part of life. Mixed waters, their backed up toilets, also becoming a more common occurrence. The waste produced by about a third of the people going to the bathroom in any given day in Florida, including tourists, goes into a septic tank. In order for a tank to do its job, there needs to be room for the liquid portion of the waste to slowly filter down into the ground. When the groundwater levels go up, though, they push the waste back up, sometimes resulting in a poop flood. The area's creaky sewer system is another potential source of fecal contamination. It was in such bad shape that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency sued Miami-Dade County in 2012 for violating various water pollution laws. The county made notable improvements last year, reducing the volume of spilled sewage by 55%, or roughly 1.5 million gallons. But a single spill this year amounted to half of that. They're saying the water infrastructure is at risk and could be easily compromised by a storm the size of Irma, but leaky pipes could be a minor problem compared to the flooding of one of Miami-Dade's three water treatment plants, two of which are vulnerable because they lie in low coastal areas. And they say waste appears to be filtrating into the flood water even without a single drop of rain. In Miami Beach, an exceptionally high or king tide is enough to cause a flood. To deal with the water rush, the city has been installing an expensive system of pumps. This gets the problem out of the streets and dumps it straight into the ocean. So that means that the water coming up from the ocean is full of sewage. So the water that's being dumped from the hurricanes is probably full of sewage and contamination. Also, sewage contamination in water leads to algae blooms, which can have a host of dire consequences that threaten humans, wildlife, and Florida's multi-billion dollar tourism industry. So that's the crux of that article. There was another one about the sewage that I wanted to find. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, I just found this other article. It's called New Republic. I found this one for you too. And this is related to the article I was just reading. It's called Florida's Poop Nightmare Has Come True. Hurricane Irma, this is written after the hurricane. The other one was written before the hurricane of Irma. It says Hurricane Irma caused massive sewage overflows, highlighting the twin dangers of an aging infrastructure and climate change. In the days and hours before Hurricane Irma slammed into Florida, its residents were treated to copious media speculation about nightmare scenarios this monster storm, journalists said, could bring a 15-foot storm surge, blow roofs off buildings, and cause tens of billions of dollars in damage. But perhaps no scenario seemed more dire than the one courts warned about. That's the article I just read, the day before Irma made landfall. Court's apparent hyperbole turned out to be an understatement. Pollution reports submitted to Florida's Department of Environmental Protection show that due to power outages and flooding caused by Irma, human waste has been spilling into streets, residences, and waterways across the entire state. At the time of this article's publication, at least 113 public notices of pollution had been submitted to the DEP. Combined, those discharge reports showed more than 28 million gallons of treated and untreated sewage released in 22 counties. The total amount is surely much more. At least 43 of those reports listed either an unknown or ongoing amount of waste released, and new reports continue to roll in, sometimes as many as a dozen per hour. In other words, Irma was a literal shitstorm, but it's no laughing matter. Sewage spills pose a major threat to public health, and they're likely to become more common due to two increasingly connected crises facing America: an aging infrastructure and climate change. The spills in Florida range from benign to revolting. In some cases, a few hundred gallons of raw sewage burst from manholes into non-flooded areas and were quickly cleaned up. But in Miami, the city's South District Wastewater Treatment Plant reported a 6 million gallon sewage spill that reached Biscayne Bay, a state aquatic preserve. While the report said the area was cleaned and disinfected, it also says the public was notified and the sewage was not recovered. In Seminole County, north of Orlando, a sewer overflowed for 6 hours, spilling 2 million gallons. More than 300,000 gallons flowed into Stevenson Creek, which the Tampa Bay Times reports is already one of Pinellas County's most polluted bodies of water. The St. Johns River in Jacksonville has seen at least 130 gallons of sewage released into its tributaries. And in Volusia County, which holds Daytona Beach, A 2 million gallon spill of treated sewage has seen no cleanup efforts so far, according to this notice. The DEP emphasizes that these notices contain estimates. It should be noted that these are initial incident reports, and the information on the volume of wastewater released during an event like Hurricane Irma may fluctuate depending on the initial estimates and the overall amounts that are able to be recovered after a spill. Florida DPE spokesperson Deanne Miller said in an email, and she continues, "Frequently, these numbers continue to be refined as additional information becomes available. It will likely take days, if not weeks, for the full extent of sewage overflows and contamination in Florida to be assessed, but state officials aren't taking any chances." Bloomberg reports that utilities across the state warned residents to boil water before drinking it, and the EPA has deployed specialists to Florida to help get wastewater systems back online. The DEP is urging Floridians to stay out of floodwaters and to look for warning signs posted by local authorities about accidental sewage releases. In other words, the state is still determining the extent of the pollution. There's widespread agreement about the risk to human health. Public health is the most imminent threat with these releases, said Mary Grant, the director of Food and Water Watch's Public Water for All campaign. Contamination of water leads to people being exposed to disease. Dr. Valerie Harwood, whose University of South Florida lab researches water quality microbiology, said humans exposed to raw or poorly treated sewage could experience a number of gastrointestinal problems or nasty virus. Quote, "You can get nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, the neuroviruses better known as cruise ship viruses," she said. The polluted water may also contain bacterial pathogens like Salmonella and Giardia. Harwood said exposure risk is short-lived in most cases, so long as contaminated water is flushed out into larger sources, like the Biscayne Bay, which she said would likely be fine despite welcoming 6 million gallons of sewage. "You wouldn't have wanted to be in the water when the spill happened, but it's gone now," she said. The real risks come when human waste reaches stagnant floodwaters, retention ponds, or slow-moving streams. Texas is dealing with this now after Hurricane Harvey caused massive sewage overflows in Houston. Scientists are finding that stagnant floodwaters there contain startling amounts of human fecal matter and E. coli. If any mucous membranes or open wounds come into contact with that bacteria, or if people who touch it fail to wash their hands before eating, it could cause bloody diarrhea and other unpleasantness. Yeah, you could say that. To some extent, sewage overflows are to be expected during big storms. Those who know how these systems work understand that when this amount of water comes into the system, there's absolutely nothing that can be done except to let the water go, Harwood said. If we engineered the plants to accommodate water overflows from a hurricane, it would cost so much that people would be very angry. It's a trade-off between uncommon events when they occur that pose a health risk versus having a really expensive overcapacity that's not used 99% of the time. At the same time, the nation's sewage infrastructure, particularly Florida's, is in worse shape than it should be, making it more susceptible to accidents and overflows. As the New York Times reported last week, much of the state's infrastructure is now nearing the end of its useful life. Last year, the EPA said $17 billion would be needed over the next two decades just to maintain Florida's existing systems, and that's nothing compared to the $271 billion the EPA says is needed to maintain and improve the aging, crumbling wastewater infrastructure across the country. What's more, climate change is slowly making the problem worse, not only because of more intense rainfall, but because the rising seas cause more leaks from coastal septic systems. Anyway, it goes on and on. Oh, that's almost the end. I'll go ahead and finish. The Trump administration has partly acknowledged this problem. Though the president's proposed budget nearly demolishes every aspect of the EPA, it would slightly increase by 0.5% funding for the agency's state revolving funds, which provide loans for construction and improvement of wastewater facilities. And Trump signed a bill in May that increases, also by 0.5%, the amount the EPA is able to lend states and municipalities for sewage system improvements. But environmental advocates and publicly owned water utilities contend that these efforts aren't nearly enough. When adjusted for inflation, federal funding for water infrastructure has fallen 74% since 1977. So increasing state revolving funds by 0.5%, as Trump has proposed, is insufficient to the need. Trump has also proposed eliminating a separate program for rural wastewater projects and using the minuscule increase in state revolving funds to cover those projects. And because Trump is hostile to any policy that takes climate change into account, there's no plan to make these sewage systems more resilient to the impacts of global warming. Trump's approach is not the right one, Grant said. We need direct federal spending in our water and sewer systems. Until that happens, we'll continue to be knee-deep in shit. Well, maybe Trump knows that with the sea levels rising, that the coastal cities are not going to be inhabitable and people are going to have to relocate. You know, I just don't see how they're going to rebuild anywhere. I mean, they're starting to in Houston, but it's insane. It's just insane. And so, as part of your prepping supplies, everyone needs their own water filtration system to filter this unclean water. In addition to boiling it, if you have a Berkey water system, I have a little travel Berkey, and it will filter about a gallon at a time. It gets out about 99% of all the bacteria. And then you can put MMS in the water, and that will help clean up the rest of the bacteria. So at least you won't get some kind of awful disease from contaminated water while everything is recovering. And this is a nightmare. This is literally a nightmare, as things people are not thinking about, that they don't think about as part of it being in preparation and the aftermath of disaster. And the third article, or the fourth article I'm going to bring to you today is from Vox, and it's called Flesh-Eating Bacteria, Cancer-Causing Chemicals, and Mold, Harvey and Irma's Lingering Health Threats. Doctors are on the lookout for health problems left over by the storm. So if all that didn't freak you out enough, this article will. And first thing we have in this article is a picture in Houston, or somewhere in Texas, of caskets that were uprooted out of cemeteries by the floods of Hurricane Harvey. And I mentioned that this was going to happen. I mentioned this in my campfire chats with Margot, the one show that I did. Maybe I'll do some more of those, but I did mention that that would be one of the things that would happen. And so those dead bodies are rotting, and you know, a lot of them had disease. And in my last video I did, it showed how disease, bacteria and viruses don't go away. They really are stay, even if they get frozen, they stay dormant and can be revived. And so this is a very real threat. In the weeks following Hurricane Irma, parts of Florida have been awash in millions of gallons of sewage. Meanwhile, in Texas, oil refineries and chemical plants have dumped a year's worth of cancer-causing pollutants into the air following Hurricane Harvey. In both states, doctors are on the lookout for an uptick in respiratory problems, skin infections, and mosquito-borne diseases brought on by the water and mold the storms left behind. Thanks in part to better emergency planning and response, the immediate death tolls from Harvey and Irma seem to be far lower than those of Hurricanes Katrina and Sandy, which took some 1,400 and 117 lives in the U.S. respectively. So far, 82 deaths have been reported in Texas after Harvey, and there have been at least 42 deaths in Florida as a result of Irma. But health officials are warning about the much longer-term health fallout from this year's hurricane season. America's Gulf Coast region perennially records some of the worst health outcomes in the U.S., and they'll almost surely be aggravated by the storms that recently slammed the southern states. That's not to mention the hurricane's hefty price tag, which could total nearly $200 billion. Here are some of the most severe and worrying health problems that may linger in the southern U.S. long after the 2017 hurricane season. 1. A bacteria could cause an uptick in skin infections and deaths. 2. Vibrio vulnificus is a bacterium that lives in the Gulf Coast waters and kills 1 in 7 people it infects. It's also one of several pathogens that can lead to necrotizing fasciitis, which is commonly referred to as flesh-eating disease. And that's right underneath the picture of the people wading through the water. That's probably full of sewage. With the flooding from the hurricanes and storm surges, people have been coming into contact with coastal water and potentially with Vibrio. We're on the lookout for that here in Texas, says Peter Hotez, Dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine and a professor of pediatrics and molecular virology and microbiology at Baylor College of Medicine. There was an uptick of Vibrio infections across the southern U.S. following Katrina, including 5 deadly cases. And Hota said health officials expect we'll see much the same following Harvey. Though infections are rare, Vibrio can sicken people, especially those with weakened immune systems, in 2 disturbing ways. 1, through wound infections, which sometimes require amputation to get rid of, and 2, through septicemia, an infection of the bloodstream. We'll be watching for skin infections from people who have had direct contact with floodwaters, especially if they've had open wounds, Hortez added. 2. Parts of the Texas Gulf Coast have been bathed in cancer-causing pollutants. And here we have a picture of a bunch of the refineries in Corpus Christi before the arrival of Hurricane Harvey. The hurricanes that hit the U.S. also unleashed a cloud of pollutants that pose health dangers in both the short and long term. The Texas Gulf Coast is home to many of the nation's oil refineries and chemical plants, which routinely use chemicals like benzene that are known carcinogens. Harvey flooded or damaged more than 50 oil refineries and chemical plants, dumping a year's worth of pollutants into Texas within a matter of weeks. And let me interject also, the water coming up from the Gulf, out of the Gulf of Mexico, is not clean water either. Remember the BP oil disaster, and they dumped all that Corexit on the water. That's all still in there, plus a bunch of oil. So the water that dumped down with the hurricane was all polluted too. Going back to the article. According to the Austin American-Statesman, 55 refineries and petrochemical plants in the Houston, Corpus Christi, and Beaumont areas collectively emitted 5.8 million pounds of benzene, ammonia, and other pollutants to the air in connection with Hurricane Harvey. Independent environmental advocacy groups have already been warning that benzene levels in some areas of Texas have reached worrying highs, while more than a dozen toxic waste sites were also flooded or destroyed. Whether there's going to be an uptick in cancer rates is something we're going to have to follow, said Hotez. You also need an air cleaner. Besides a water filter, you need an air cleaner to, you know, because as all the everything's evaporating, a lot of the toxins will just be airborne. You'll be breathing them in because they'll be like filtering over and over. Plus, you've got radiation from Fukushima on top of all of that. So there's just, I know I'm diverting from the article, but there's just going to be so much illness and disease and so many long-term deaths as a result of these hurricanes. Is just unbelievable. Plus, Puerto Rico that really got wiped out, and all those islands in the Bermudas. So this is like I said in my Campfire Chats with Margo show that I did. I feel like Harvey is just a forerunner of things to come as the climate change is really ramping up and as we're winding down. I believe it was the beginning of the end, and it's a forerunner of things to come. Okay, back to the article. 3. Irma caused more than 28 million gallons of sewage to be dumped across Florida. And here's a picture. A standard truck, a truck stranded in sand and sewage in Key West, Florida, near the southernmost point of the United States, 2 days after Hurricane Irma slammed into the state on September 12, 2017. I already covered this in my other articles, but I'll go ahead and read this. South Florida is not the petrochemical capital Texas is, but many of its septic tanks, wastewater treatment plants, and agricultural and industrial areas were flooded and shut off because of Irma, releasing raw sewage and waste across the state in what's been described as a literal shit storm. Florida relies on a system of wastewater lift stations with electronic pumps that move sewage through the state. That's a horrifying thought. But when Irma knocked out the electricity in many areas, some of the sewage pumps were also cut off, leading to overflows and spills of raw sewage, which harbor dangerous bacteria, viruses, and parasites such as E. coli, Salmonella, and Hepatitis A. There have already been dozens of Irma-related pollution notices describing the streets, homes, and neighborhoods that have been drenched with wastewater. On Thursday, Emily Atkin at the New Republic tallied up the total damage in these filings, and it's staggering. And this is quoted from the article I just read. Combined, those discharge reports showed more than 28 million gallons of treated and untreated sewage released in 22 counties. The total amount is surely much more. At least 43 of those reports listed either an unknown or ongoing amount of waste released, and new reports continue to roll in, sometimes as many as a dozen per hour. That's why the Florida Department of Health is warning locals to take precautions and avoid the polluted water Irma left behind. Four, the mold left behind by the hurricanes may lead to respiratory problems. Yeah, look at this picture. This is from Hurricane Katrina in 2005. It's a picture of a ceiling. This house is just covered with mold, and the ceiling fan, the arms of it are just all bent down and mold covered too. I mean, you could never go back and live in that. Hurricane Harvey dumped more than 50 inches of rain on Texas and Louisiana. Irma drenched Florida in 16 inches of water. When people's homes and workplaces have been swamped, the moisture that's left behind, especially in the hot and humid South, becomes a breeding ground for mold, and mold can wreak havoc on the respiratory system. According to 2009 World Health Organization guidelines on the health impacts of mold, exposure to spores can cause or worsen asthma, lead to respiratory infections, and bring on fits of coughing and wheezing, as well as difficulty breathing. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advise those affected by the storms to quickly clean up the mold in their homes. But that work isn't always straightforward because mold can be difficult to spot. After Hurricane Katrina, even homes that were only partially flooded had mold lurking within their walls. And once you're exposed to mold and you get sick from it, it's like you're more susceptible to every mold exposure afterwards, is what I found. And I'm a victim of multiple mold exposure, and I've had some pretty severe respiratory stuff go on, and I have a lot of allergies and different stuff, and I have to really take care of myself with my environment, and as a result, my energy level is a lot less. And I'm doing the best I can, but once you're exposed to it, and if you're sensitive to it, and apparently, like 1 in 10 people have a gene that makes them super sensitive to mold, and I must have it because I've had allergies for decades. But if you do have that gene, you're susceptible to a lot of issues, a lot of problems, and more susceptible to just ongoing chronic stuff that's underlying. It's not enough to kill you, but it's enough to make you feel pretty bad. And it's not anything that doctors can really treat effectively. Okay, five. The storms could exacerbate mosquito-borne diseases. And here's a picture. Debris is seen during a storm surge near the Puerto Chico harbor during the passing of Hurricane Irma on September 6th, 2017, in Fajardo, Puerto Rico. Massive floods like the ones Harvey and Irma caused wash away mosquito breeding sites as well as the insects that transmit disease like Zika and West Nile. But in the pools of water that are left behind by the storms, mosquito populations can quickly reestablish themselves and again threaten transmission of those viruses. If there's increased transmission of mosquito-borne disease after the hurricanes, it'll be from West Nile and Eastern Equine Encephalitis, explained Duane Gubler, an expert on mosquito-borne diseases with Duke NUS Medical School. Unlike other mosquito-borne diseases, such as chikungunya or Zika, West Nile and Eastern Equine Encephalitis are always present in the U.S., circulating in birds and mosquitoes, and don't need to be imported by travelers from abroad to spark outbreaks. But there's some good news here. Storms aren't always followed by increased transmission of mosquito-borne diseases, and we're nearing the end of transmission season in the U.S., with the weather cooling down in time for winter. Peak transmission typically occurs in August through early October. If the mosquito transmission cycle gets knocked down by the storms and has to reamplify, there may not be enough time after October, said Scott Weaver, director of University of Texas Medical Branch's Institute for Human Infections and Immunity. What's more, states have been taking precautions after the hurricanes, with large-scale spraying efforts to control mosquito populations, and we're also at the tail end of the Zika and chikungunya outbreaks here. But Weaver warned of a longer-term threat. The Caribbean islands, which have been in the crosshairs of Hurricane Irma and now Hurricane Maria, have suffered a huge amount of damage. If some of these islands lose their capacity to do mosquito control, and the destruction from the storms creates opportunities for larger mosquito transmission, Weaver said, we might see an uptick of the mosquito-borne diseases that circulate there, like dengue, which could spread beyond the Caribbean's borders as people travel to and from the islands carrying the viruses with them. They're already spraying in Texas. And what they're spraying is really toxic to humans. But that's to be expected. So again, you definitely want some HEPA filter air cleaners in your house. 6. Mental health problems are expected to linger for years. And here's a picture. This is from Hurricane Harvey. This is a picture of these two guys in front of their house in Houston. Irma and Harvey damaged property in hundreds of communities, mainly in Texas and Florida, but also parts of neighboring states like Louisiana and Georgia. A staggering 40,000 people lost their homes due to Harvey. The flooding also ruined 1 million cars. The stress and anguish that arises after such devastating losses of property can carry serious mental health consequences, particularly among those who have a history of anxiety or depression. In the month after Katrina, some 17% of people in New Orleans reported experiencing mental problems, most commonly post-traumatic stress symptoms, including nightmares and flashbacks. Among children, the rates were even higher. 37% of kids who lived through Katrina were diagnosed with a mental condition after the storm. Charles Benight, who studies trauma at the University of Colorado, told Vox, "We all have a threshold that if we watch a loved one swept away in rushing water and drown, that can definitely create post-traumatic stress disorder. In a situation like Harvey, he expects that between 5 and 15% of those affected will end up with significant mental health challenges, such as post-traumatic stress disorder. Up to 50%, though, will experience shorter-term stress related to the storm and the recovery." And then this article was updated on September 20th, and it says, "We updated the section of the post on Vibrio to explain that it is one of several bacteria that can lead to flesh-eating disease." Anyway, this is a really good article. By Brian Resnick on Vox. And this came out on the 22nd. Well, it was updated on the 22nd. So, that's my show for today. So we kind of kept it in, talking about the health consequences of all of these catastrophes. And so again, I say as things keep getting worse and worse and worse, the only way out is spiritually. And I say there's going to be a lot more people dying than what have died. And you need to get your spiritual house in order. And if you haven't made peace with people in your life, if you have unfinished business in your relationships, go ahead and take care of that. And if you haven't gotten right with God and Jesus, now would be a good time. So, my name is Margot. I'm a hypnotist, holistic life coach, and empathic spiritual healer. My website is margoshealingcorner.com. And until next time, be safe and God bless. Goodbye.